Mondays and Fridays, we welcome two great, outstanding individuals. Ladies and gentlemen, member of the National Academy of Sciences and adjunct professor, University of Illinois, the Thomas Edison of oil and gas, Brother Johnny, this morning from the center of the universe, Philo, Illinois.
Hey,
B. How are you?
We're doing great, Steve J.
Mike Ditka in Chicago. Hi, Mike.
I'm in Chicago.
Yahoo! And, of course, you remember your days at the Philo Tavern. Yahoo!
Oh, yeah. Big night.
Yeah. That guy that first saw Mike Ditka in the Philo Tavern, I thought he was going to spin his bar seat around until it went down to China. I mean, he's like, oh, my God, it's Mike Ditka. It was unbelievable. Well, I tell you, one reason Johnny's in town is there's a dedication this afternoon at Newmark, which is our engineering building for Khachaturian Hall.
And this, which is inside the new student center, the Yay Center, that was just added to the civil engineering building. So it's a great addition to one of the best engineering colleges in the country, Steve.
No question. And what a great day today. You're going to get a clip the ribbon at 3:45. My entire family will be there.
Awesome.
As we celebrate our dad. And I think the accomplishments of what he did when he came here, and Mike, the story of a guy coming to America, not speaking the language, and rising to the levels our father did, is just, it's inspiring, and I know it's inspired Johnny and all that he's done.
You got to be tremendously proud of your parents, and your kids will be very proud of you and what you guys have achieved. And that's the whole idea of America. You know, all it provides is an opportunity, and you can take that opportunity or make or break it. It's up to you.
That's right, Steve. And I think Dad was one of the finest Americans I've ever met.
Oh, he was.
And he really would emphasize it to me and explain to me, let me tell you what it's like in another country. This is what you have here. And really, it was a lot easier to appreciate what we have in our country, knowing how lucky we are.
I said, Dad, how did you go to the U of I when you couldn't speak English? He said it was difficult that first year. I mean, how do you do that? I mean, overcame. And, you know, in 42 years of going to the U of I 6 days a week, I don't think he ever used one of their stamps. He never did anything like, I mean, he just was so absolutely full of integrity. And he just was such an incredible example, and we're so blessed to have had that.
The first few days he was here, Mike, he had two chocolate sundaes for dinner because that's the only thing he knew how to say.
And remember, he was excited to have an American beer, and they gave him a root beer. He said, this is all the hubbub. He said, he didn't know. In any event, great day today, and I know Dr. Yee's in town, and it's going to be great over Newmark this afternoon. All right, let's get right to it. Government shutdown. That's the news this morning. The Republicans passed something, kind of a stopgap to keep the budget thing going, keep the money flowing. Democrats don't like it because there's not enough money for renewable and too many cuts to disaster relief. FEMA runs out of money on Monday, Johnny. Republicans are leaving. They're not going to be in town next week. Democrats either pass it or I guess we shut down.
I don't know. I'll tell you, it's the same old thing we've been hearing. They just can't manage. And there's too much money being spent. I think we've heard that it's a spending problem, not a tax problem. We want to have a balanced budget, et cetera. But we were looking at some numbers, Steve. And right now, the budget, which is $3.5 trillion, is about 25% of the what's called the GDP, the gross domestic product, which is all of everybody's money. That's what all the money spent in America adds up to, something like $12 or $13 trillion. Pretty good. But at the rate we're growing government at 6 or 8%, and, of course, one of the problems we have in our economy is our GDP is only growing at 1 or 2%. We wanted it 3 to 5%. But at the rate we're going, in 15 or 20 years, roughly, which is what? Christian will be 30.
Yeah.
The GDP will equal the budget of the government. What that means is, forget about taxing the rich. Forget about, oh, these guys aren't paying. The government's going to need all of everybody's money. Every penny spent will equal what the government needs to spend. So you got to quit that. We need, forget the balance in the budget. We need to fix the percentage of the gross domestic product and stop these guys from taking the money. And when they don't get it, because they're getting $2 trillion out of the $3.5 trillion we're spending. We borrow it. So that's the problem, Mike. It is a spending problem. We don't want a federal government equal to the size of the entire economy, because if we do have that, the government has everything, and they'll have to tell us where to live, what doctor to use, what job to have. It won't work.
Well, you're right, John. It's, you know, you got the blame game with both parties, and you know, it's unfortunate that we don't put country first. We've heard all this stuff through the elections of country first, people first, but it's party first, and, you know, it's special interest first, and it's, you know, it's government first, and that's wrong. You know, it's got to be what doing the right things for this country. I know that everybody can't agree on everything. By God, somebody ought to agree on something.
You wonder sometimes if it's really that they don't understand the numbers or they don't care. I don't know which it is, because what they're arguing about is moot. They've got to cut spending one way or another. They can't have the money, and it's not there. It's not whether or not we give it to them. So it's frustrating, and we'll see. You know, it's not boring, Steve. Yeah. It's kind of exciting when you're on the brink of complete disaster, I guess.
Well, last night at the Republican debate in Orlando, Florida, here's a little of the essence of what went on last night.
I promise to submit a balanced budget to Congress in the year 2013. I promise to veto legislation where expenditures exceed revenue.
Unlike Governor Romney's plan, my plan throws out the old one. He's still hooked to the current tax code. That dog won't hunt.
There's no authority for them to run our schools, no authority to control our economy, and no authority to control us as individuals on what we do with our personal lives.
I would go over to the Department of Education, I'd turn out the lights, I'd lock the door, and I'd send all the money back to the state and localities.
The first department, if I were forced to eliminate a department, I would start with the EPA and start all over.
Your economic advisor talked about RomneyCare and how that was an absolute bust, and it was exactly what Obamacare was all about.
I think when you have countries that vote against you in the United Nations consistently, you really have to ask yourself, why are you giving them anything? I mean, if they're not your ally.
If you mess with Israel, you're messing with the United States of America. We will stand solidly behind Israel.
I would build a fence on America's southern border, on every mile, on every yard, on every foot, on every inch of the southern border.
My next door neighbor's two dogs have created more shovel-ready jobs than this current administration.
I know what I stand for. I've written it down. Words have meaning, and I have the experience to get this country going again.
All right, that's last night, and then Newt Gingrich finally with this.
Nothing will turn America around more than election night when Barack Obama loses decisively.
Well, a lot of energy in the room. I tell you, you know, I know there are, you know, a lot of good candidates up there. Every time Newt Gingrich speaks, I can't say I disagree with anything he says, but it's probably still going to come down to Romney. Or I would say Perry, Johnny, but I don't know.
Well, we'll see, and a little early to tell. And I like Herman Cain.
I love Herman
Cain.
He's
pretty consistent.
Herman Cain's delightful to listen to.
He is, and he makes sense. You know, I say this: if Romney's the candidate, he won't win. I think it has to be. It could be Cain, could be Perry, could be a lot of other people, but I just don't think Romney's going to win. That's only my opinion. So. You know, it's what we talked about a week ago. You have a lot of good candidates, and they're all good candidates, and they're all good people, and they all have good intentions. But, you know, you have to have one strong candidate if you're going to do this. And if they don't have that, they're not going to win the election, period.
And Romney perhaps too moderate, Mike?
Well, you know, I don't know enough about Mitt Romney, but I know that, you know, all the things that he's talked about that he's done in the state of Massachusetts, I don't know how good they are, how bad they are, but evidently... His health plan is no different than the one that the president put through, and it's not a very good plan.
Right, and he's got that hanging over his shoulders, and I don't like that he defends it. He says, well, it's a state, and the states can do what they want. I don't think it's a very good plan, but I don't know the details either, and I'm not 100% sure he couldn't win. Right now, the president's in serious political trouble. But, boy, there's a long way to go, Steve.
A long way, and a lot of about $1 billion is what the president will have to spend, and he does do well when he's out on the road shaking hands. To the NFL we go. Sunday, Bears-Packers in Chicago. Wow, what a game, Mike, early season.
Well, it is. I mean, these two teams played all through last year. The Bears won a division. The Packers ended up winning the playoffs and won the Super Bowl. One of the great it is the greatest rivalry in the history of the National Football League, dating back to the beginning of the league. And, you know, the proximity to two cities, one big town, one small town, you know, it all works out, you know. And saying that, it shouldn't be a good game, but, you know, the Bears have to find some way to get consistent about something they're doing. I mean, right now, you know, you can't play good one week and bad the next week and expect to win anything.
Well, you know, I was talking, and I meant to ask you about this Monday, but, of course, the Bears played the Saints in New Orleans, and I thought they played pretty well, but that's a hard place to play. It was really noisy. And Cutler got hit pretty bad. I think he got hit 19 times, yeah. And he was sacked 6 times.
Yeah.
But 4 or 5 of the hits and 2 of the sacks were under 3 minutes to go. And I tell you what, I was surprised because I was watching the Bears line up with Cutler in the shotgun, Mike. It was 30-13. It was 4th and 24. They had 80 yards to go. The crowd went crazy because they're thinking, we get to hit Cutler again. And he got sacked. He got creamed. I don't know what they're doing with that. I mean, if he's your starting quarterback, you got the Packers. I don't think you're going to win the game. It's 4th and 24. And then when we got the ball, because we sacked him, we fumbled. He was back in his end zone throwing. And he got sacked again and hit a couple more times. So I don't – and that's just a comment that – I don't know what Lovey's doing other than not paying attention, but I don't know why Cutler's even in there, much less throwing on 4th and 24. But anyhow, I was just observing that Jay took a beating.
Well, Jay said he's not sure he can take that kind of beating. He just said, I don't know if I'm going to last.
But you got to do something about the game probably. I was watching the Rams on Monday night, and they were punting on 4th and 28, and they were only down 12. But that's just a fan watching. But
do you protect your quarterback, Mike? Should Lovey have pulled him out?
I don't think he should have pulled him out, but I don't think you go for it on 4th and 28 when you're behind by that kind of score.
Yeah.
I think the time, you know, say, hey, listen, guys, live the fight another day. You know, try to work on something else. Run the football, get the ball out of the quarterback's hands. He's got to understand that. I mean, I think the offensive coordinator, the offensive line, everybody's got to understand if you're going to make this better, you're going to have to simplify that passing game to the point of, hey, I don't care if I only throw the ball 5-6 yards down the field, but it's coming out of my hand.
Yeah.
And the other thing that happened against the Saints, I thought they brought a couple of safeties and corners, and it looked like the Bears never saw it before. They had no way to pick it up, and they had no way to read it. And as a result, they got knocked down on that those plays.
All right, Houston and New Orleans, Johnny, that ought to be a dandy. Houston's a real team.
Yeah. And the Saints are real. So – because it's in the dome, the Texans will have to work hard to beat the Saints there, but they can do it, trust me. And the Saints are going to have to keep playing good football, but we played a pretty good game on Sunday. So I don't know if I knew that our offense was quite that good, but, you know, it'll be fun. I think it's a good. There's some good matchups coming up, and it's going to be a great season. I think the NFL.
Yeah, I think Buffalo, Mike, hosting New England, are going to have their hands full there.
Well, anybody that plays New England is going to have their hands full. That's really a good football team. The thing about Houston and New Orleans, though, if Foster's healthy, this should be a pretty good football game. They got to have balance. If he's not healthy with that hamstring, I think they're going to have some problems. But and the one thing about it, I said this after week one when New Orleans lost to Green Bay, hey, they're going to score a lot of points on a lot of people. That's a good offense.
Yeah.
Right. You're right. Boy, I tell you.
Yeah.
So I'm hoping they can keep that going. And I don't know if Foster's going to make it, and that's 100% a key guy. And we couldn't tackle him, but he had been questionable.
He's a running back for the Texans?
A guy named Foster.
Ooh, he's great.
That's tough to bring down.
And finally, Pittsburgh and Indianapolis are finding out what life is without Peyton Manning in Indy, and it's not very good.
Hmm.
Well, you know, Peyton Manning, I think, is out for the year, and maybe even more than that. This might be the end of his career. He's not a young man anymore. When you start messing around with the neck and something near your vertebrae and the, you know, You don't want to do that. And I think that these people realize this injury is a lot more serious than they originally thought it was. And the Colts, without him, well, you saw the way they played. Now they're trying, and they'll try. And, you know, eventually maybe they might get something going and beat somebody, but they're not a very good team.
Yeah. All right, we're going to take our break, guys. We've got to take our break. Be right back with you in just a moment after our Wall Street Report update. We need to keep track of the Wall Street numbers because these things, the futures look really bad. It looks like they're going to open violently lower again today following yesterday's huge sell-off. Down over 700 points over the last 2 days, and it looks like it's continuing.
Crude oil trading sharply lower again, down $1.80 at $78.73 a barrel. On Wall Street, futures pointing to a sharply lower open. Yesterday, the Dow Industrial skidded 391. This is the Wall Street Journal Report.
751, back with Brother Johnny and Mike Ditka, Hall of Famer, Mondays and Fridays, 7:30 to 8, who solve all the problems of the world right here on the program. Okay, oil is down to 78 and change, Johnny, down $12 in the last week. Holy mackerel, the thing's really coming down because of concerns about the economy.
Well, I mean, that can go both ways. Sometimes concerns about the economy are because oil's going up. So it's better when oil goes down because that's just money right off the top. I think we were talking a few weeks ago about all the traffic in Chicago and in New Orleans, and I don't know where everybody's getting the gas money, but wherever it's coming from, that comes right off the top. So that's extra cash gone if gas prices are up. I haven't seen gas prices drop as fast as you'd expect, huh, Steve?
No. somehow the thing goes up, a barrel goes up, we see a rise in the pump in an hour. And, of course, it goes down, takes weeks before any gas prices change. All right, Mike, I got to ask you about this story I read this morning about the 85 Bears and your team that did not get a chance to go to the White House because of the Challenger explosion 2 days after the Super Bowl of that year. And now I understand next month the 85 Bears are invited to the White House?
Well, you know, it's my understanding. George McCaskey called me, and he asked me if I would be willing to go. And I said, yes, I would, because I think it's fitting for those players to be honored. That was a great team, a great group of men, and I think it's fitting that they be honored. It would be very inappropriate if I said, no, I wouldn't go. That would be awfully, I think, narrow-minded and childish. And so, yes, I would, and I think it's, I don't know what, you know, it's like my wife tells me these moves are political. I don't know what they are, but all I'm saying is that those guys deserve to go if they want to go, and the only shame about it, the greatest of all, Walter Payton won't be there, but I still say that, it's nice to honor those guys, so I'll show up.
Well, I'll tell you, that's a neat story, and I agree with you 100%. So, you know, and then maybe there's, look, in the political arena, everything's political.
What
do you expect?
what you need to do, Mike, is you need an hour with the president, and you might set the country straight for crying
out. Like him to sit down and chat.
Yeah.
It can't hurt.
Yeah, I think you should get an hour with the president, and maybe we'll be better on Monday after you show up.
Well, I don't think it's about that. I mean, I was reading something, and, you know, I think leadership is a very interesting thing, and a lot of people really don't understand what it is. You know, and leadership to me is, you know, you have to have a vision, you have to have a plan, you have to do certain things, and then you have to be able to execute. It's, you know, leadership can't be reacting to situations; it has to be with controlling situations. And I'm sure he knows that, so we'll see what happens.
All right, October 7th, the 85 Bears honored finally 25 years later. And that will be a great moment to see you guys come together because there's no question everybody loved the 85 Bears. It was a unique experience that the entire world enjoyed, and it was Mike Ditka. It was your guys. It was an amazing run, and it's legendary. Johnny, it was just legendary.
Oh, that's a great team. You know, and that's a real bona fide great sports team that people still talk about. Not just up around here, Steve. It's just one of the teams that and Coach Ditka, you know, one of the great coaches. It's part of our sports history, and I think that's a neat thing to do. And I hope you have fun. We're going to have a report on that, Mike. I want to hear the whole story
that. And it'll be interesting to see if everybody's able to get there. I mean, those that are still living.
Well, Well, I think most people are going to get there. I really don't know what the situation is right now, but I like I said, I think it's a wonderful thing to honor these guys, and that's why it's exciting to me. Other than that, if it was about me, no, it's too, I mean, it's too long gone, and I'm too old. But these guys are good.
Nonsense.
Hey, you're sounding pretty chipper to me, Coach.
Yeah. Any guy can go out and still hit a golf ball like you can, for crying out loud. You still got it going, Coach, and you still look great on ESPN.
You're very nice. Thank you.
All right. We'll be in touch, gentlemen, on Monday. Thanks so much again for your time. Mike Ditka, Brother Johnny, as always. Always a pleasure.
All right, guys. Take care.
Thanks a lot.
All right. It's Mike Ditka. Only place in America that he's on the radio with other things besides sports.
Awesome stuff.
It'll be on the podcast later today.
That's right.
At myconnectfm.com if you want to re-listen or if you missed part of it. Brother Johnny in town again to dedicate Kecheturian Hall, part of Newmark, the new area that they're unveiling today. I'm really excited and honored to be there.
What an honor.
Yeah. It's a 132-seat auditorium, I think.
Okay.
Classroom. But it's pretty awesome day. All right, we'll check Fox News coming up. Recap of the debate last night. If you missed it, Rich Johnson, who anchored on our radio last night as part of the Fox News coverage, will join us. And Bill Melberg, do not miss this morning's episode on the Bill Melberg Political Satire Report coming up at 8:30. I am Stevie J. Nice to have you on the radio show this morning. We'll be right back. Stand by. Fox News is coming up next.